Now, today we meet Jesus on the seashore. We have been here before, and we will be here again. The lectionary takes us through one gospel each year, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, year A, year B, year C. John, the ever enigmatic youngest child, is scattered all over in between, dipping in and out of every year. It is important to remember that though we have heard this story before, we are hearing Luke's version once again after a three-year hiatus. As a theologian once pointed out, the Gospels are both memories and theologies, histories and proclamations. To hear this story again, to hear Luke's version again, is not just to revisit the fact of Jesus' life, but to hear what Luke has to say about it, to hear how he tries to make sense of the larger-than-life Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I digress maybe, or perhaps I'm getting a bit of ahead of myself. Let's return to Jesus on that seashore. His fame has begun to spread, and he teaches with authority. Many come looking for him. They heard about his teaching and its poor reception in his hometown of Nazareth. I wonder if many simply came to gawk, to catch a good show, so to speak, a roadside curiosity. And yet among the masses who clamor for his attention, among those who are there just to enjoy the show but do little else, Jesus addresses a poor fisherman whose name is Simon, Simon Peter. This man is aware of his faults. "Go away from me, Lord," he says, "for I am a sinful man." And yet, unlike the great masses pressing in on Jesus, the masses who hear the message but do not truly listen to what he has to say, Simon Peter leaves everything behind to follow him. Howard Thurman, the 20th century theologian, civil rights leader, and mystic, once had some words to share with the likes of me, with preachers, people who want to talk about what Jesus had to say to people. "It is not a singular thing," he said, "to hear a sermon that defines what should be the attitude of the Christian toward people who are less fortunate than themselves. However, I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of times that I have heard a sermon on the meaning of religion, of Christianity itself, to the person who stands with their back against the wall." The masses of people live with their backs constantly against the wall. They are the poor, the disinherited, the dispossessed. What does our religion have to say to them? That is a challenging word for preachers, a word not just about the content of Jesus' message, but about his audience. It is easy to preach a sermon directed at those who have something to give to others. It is harder to speak directly to people in need, to offer a word of hope beyond "this too shall pass." Simon Peter was one such man, a poor fisherman, a nobody in the first century world, eking out a living as forces beyond his control determined the terms upon which his life could be lived. Jesus didn't just tell him to give out of his wealth to look after the needs of others. No, Jesus told him that his life itself could be meaningful, that his efforts, his work had value, that his voice could be useful to a cause larger than himself, that his weaknesses and flaws would not disqualify him for a higher office. We often look at the content of Jesus' teaching, but we don't often reflect on his audience. Who is Jesus' message for? How does that help us think about his call to us? If we look further ahead, we will see that Jesus didn't reserve his message for fishermen. His audience helps us understand the content of his message. Later in the same chapter we just read, Jesus calls a tax collector, Levi, to follow him as well. He is not whom you would usually imagine on the margins, per se, but he is definitely not whom you would recruit to represent your brand new religious movement. Tax collectors have reputations for extorting the poor, taking more money than was their due. Levi, however, had a change of heart. He left everything behind and followed him. A few chapters later, Jesus runs into some Jewish leaders who have a request for him on behalf of a Roman centurion, an enemy of the people, a tool of the empire. Jesus recognizes the centurion's faith and heals his servant. Once again, Jesus surprises us. This is not the kind of respectable people you want representing your religious movement. The list goes on. Pharisees who doubt, women of ill repute, children who have little to contribute, and oh, so many sick, needy, destitute people. Jesus brought good news to all of them, and he spoke not just of their obligation to others, but of the abundant life he offered them directly, a life that stood in stark contrast to what the world saw as successful. A life teeming with people whom you wouldn't ever picture at the same dinner table. This is the people Jesus spoke of, but more importantly, this is the people Jesus spoke to directly. People who didn't quite fit anywhere else, which is another way of saying people who longed for a place to belong. Friends, the gospel is a double-edged sword. It agitates the comfortable and comforts the downtrodden. To walk with Jesus, to truly follow him, means to join him in this dance. To ask ourselves what we can do for others, but also, and maybe more importantly, to come to the table with our deepest yearning, our need, our flaws and failures. To you who have much to offer, I ask, where is God calling you to address the needs of the world around you? To you who walk in fear and uncertainty, I ask, where is God inviting you into new life filled with joy and purpose? I bet most of us need to answer both questions. So let us come to the table, offering our gifts so that we may gain life abundant. Amen.